and goes and sits back down. So here is where I want you to take a little journey with me. Just like Jesus had a mission, right? He came to destroy the works of the evil one. Here at Impact Church, we exist to grow all people to grow. We exist to help all people grow fully in Christ. That's our mission, right? Anything that comes in between us and carrying that mission out has to now yield to what it is we're called to do. But that mission is something that is specifically designed for us. That mission is part of our unique design from God. So there is something that God has uniquely designed you for. In your spiritual DNA, this is who you are. This is part of your identity. It's kind of like your fingerprint. You know, we have twins. Our twins are fraternal, but even identical twins do not have the same fingerprint. Everyone's fingerprint is different. There is a bank of fingerprints right now. If you've ever been fingerprinted, if anyone ever wants to identify you, all they have to do is go to that bank and find your fingerprint, and they will find you. Well, just so, there is a unique, specific purpose for your life, right? That now has been designed for you. And in that purpose and in that mission, on that journey, are miracles that are stretched out along the way. There are miracles in your DNA. 2 Corinthians 5:21 has said, "For our sake he made Christ virtually to be sin who knew no sin, so that in and through him we might become endued with, viewed as being in, and examples of the righteousness of God, what we ought to be, approved and acceptable and in right relationship with him by his goodness." So, understand this. You started off as a miracle. God made Jesus, who knew no sin, who was perfect, he made him sin. Do you understand that? God made someone perfect sin. He switched his DNA. He switched him from perfect to sin. And he switched him from perfect to sin so he could switch you from sin to perfect. That's a miracle, people. That's what you call a miracle. He switched me, who was in sin, who was doing things my own way, who was destined for hell, who didn't have anything going for me, who had all kinds of labels that were not right on me. He switched me supernaturally to be the righteousness of God in Christ. He made me something different. He changed my whole makeup. He changed my DNA. I'm a miracle standing here before you. So if he made you from a miracle, then miracles are something that should take place in your life. Everybody say, I am. Miracle material. Miracle material. Miracles are in my DNA. It's always interesting to me that my family, we like to watch Marvel movies, right? So we probably watch all the Marvel movies that are out there. And it's interesting to me, the Marvel movies, and they talk about the multiverse, and there's all kinds of time travel that happens. And it's so funny because I watch my kids and my husband go back and forth trying to explain the multiverse, how there could be alternate universes, and trying to explain time travel. And my kids actually will come up with a diagram to show us this is how time travel works, and this is how the multiverse works. That's how far they went with it. Well, I don't really know much about the multiverse. I don't really know much about time travel, but I do know that when you accept the fact that you are now able to, you are a miracle, right? You are now miracle material, and you have a miracle mindset. What that does is it opens a universe of possibilities to you. a universe of possibilities that were not there with a different mindset. Things that said you couldn't have, now you're able to have. Places people say you may not be able to go, now you're able to go. When the doctor said this is what your end result is going to be, the miracle mind said, no, I have a whole miracle verse open to me, and that is not the last word. I have the final word. Praise the Lord. Third thing I want to share with you. The miracle mindset that Jesus had, he didn't evaluate failure by human standards. All right? Look at Mark 8, 22 through 26. It says, when they arrived at Bethsaida, some people brought a blind man to Jesus, and they begged him to touch the man and heal him. Jesus took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village, then spitting on the man's eyes. Do you see that? It said he spit on the man's eyes. Then spitting on the man's eyes, he laid his hands on him and asked, can you see anything now? The man looked around. Yes, he said, I see people, but I can't see them very clearly. They look like trees walking around. Then Jesus placed his hands on the man, his eyes were open. His sight was completely restored, and he could see everything clearly. Jesus sent him away saying, don't go back into the village on your way home. This is like groundbreaking, guys. He spit on the man's eyes. And he said, now what do you see? And the man said, oh, I can see, but I can't see clearly. Now, I don't know about you. I'm one of those. We had our dream team. We came together for a training yesterday, and we talked about, you know, just the different personality types. And my personality type is one of those types that thinks a lot. So if I would have spit or done anything to somebody the first time, and then I asked them, what do you see now? And they told me, well, I can see clearly, but I can't see clearly. I see a little bit, like people like trees. I'd have been like, I'm supposed to be the Son of God. I'm the Son of God, and I lay hands on this person, and they didn't see anything. They didn't get the full healing the first time. I might think that was a failure. But Jesus was listening. He laid hands on him again, and the man saw. Another example is in Luke 8:37. We talked about Jesus going over to the other side with the disciples. He heals the man who's in the tombs, right, from the demonic oppression. And then everybody in the whole country came to Jesus to thank him and say, we love you, Jesus. We want to serve you. Please tell us about why you're here. We want to serve God. No. Everybody came out and asked Jesus to leave. They said, would you please leave us alone? We know you healed the man, but you also caused all of our pigs to drown in the sea. So we want you to leave us alone. We don't want to hear anything about who you are. We don't care that you're the Son of God. Get out of here. Now, I would just wonder if we had Fox News and CNN and MSNBC back in that day, what the commentators would be talking about these incidents. Well, he's the Son of God, and he laid hands on someone, and the first time, it didn't take the way that we would have thought it would have taken. He's the Son of God, and people don't want to hear him. I propose that we pass legislation that anyone claiming to be the Son of God must prove that anytime they speak, what they say comes to pass in the first time that they say it, or they cannot be given the title of Son of God. People will always have their opinion of who you are, what you can't do, what you can do, where you should be, who you should be with, how much you should have, how much you shouldn't have. And Jesus was just secure to understand and listen to God to know it's not over. If God told me to do it, it must be something else he wants me to do in this situation. But this man is going to see because God told me to heal him. He doesn't rate failure like we see failure. And he was always listening. See, men will tell you, oh, it's too late. You're too old. You're too young. You're too big. You're too small. You're too tall. You're too short. I mean, we had someone tell us that if you're 50, then you're past your prime. Well, I guess I should have listened to that before I went back to school. I guess I should have listened to that before I started running a nonprofit organization. I guess I should have went and talked to that person first, huh? Maybe I would have been kept in my place, right? But no, Jesus understood that as long as I'm doing what God told me to do, I'm not failing. He's got inside information that I don't have, right? He's behind the scene with a greater purpose. I don't know why the first time Jesus spit on the man's eye, he didn't see clearly. I don't know why, but God knows why. And I don't have to know why. All I know is that I'm just going to do what he says to do. And really, you got to come to the place where you're always in your prime for something. Whether you're 2 or whether you're 102, there is always a mission. There is always something that God has lined you up to do. And with that in mind, I just want to show this video right quick because, you know, I've been working out, and so this kind of inspired me a little bit further. So can you guys show that, please?
Keep the reps from slipping. The knee reps. Keep your knees intact when you're squatting. One of my favorite things is I say to myself, nobody hears me, just me and the Lord. Greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. Or I say, give me David strength. And I'm a little nervous every time I do the first one.
17 years old, y'all. Come on, make some noise.
Yeah, Nora.
Yes, Mama. Come on, come on.
The first lift that I did on the squat, the rack was too high. That's the reason why I didn't make it.
I'm not feeling like you.
And Paul just didn't get 3 attempts. It was nerve-wracking for her because it's the first time she's ever missed her first attempt ever in a squat. I mean, she's a squat machine, but she's fine now. I know she's not feeling 100%. So once you make your open, it's all down here.
Come on.
What's our excuse? You're never too old. It's never too late. There is a mission, and there are miracles that have been designed in your DNA for you to walk in. So, what are signs of a miracle mindset? We're going to look at 2 signs. So we talked about the fact that, you know, when you have a miracle mindset, you're mission-minded like Jesus was. When you have a miracle mindset, you understand that you're miracle material. You know, we talked about that, but how can I tell that my mind is operating with this miracle mindset? Well, the first thing that we see in a miracle mindset is expectation. See, Jesus expected the supernatural to manifest for him. John 14:10, it says this. Do you not believe that I am the Father and the Father is in me? What I am telling you, I do not say on my own authority and of my own accord, but the Father who lives continually in me does his works, his own miracles, deeds of power. So Jesus basically was saying, whenever I am in operation, whenever I'm ministering to someone, I'm not the one who has the onus on me to fulfill and to now present the power. It's the Father that's using me as a vessel. His works, his power are being displayed through me. Now, last week, Pastor talked about Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. Remember that? Listen to this part of that account in Luke 11, verse 40. It says, Jesus responded, didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe? So they rolled the stone aside. Then Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, thank you for hearing me. Listen to this. You always hear me, but I said it out loud for the sake of all these people standing here so that they will believe you sent me. And then he shouted, Lazarus, come out. So Jesus pretty much was of the opinion, I really don't have to say anything. I'm on mission. I have miracles DNA. I'm here for a reason. God is with me. I'm completing what it is he's called me to do. So all I really need to say is, Lazarus, come forth. But for your sake, to remind you of the fact that God is the one that sent me, I'm going to say, Lord, I know you hear me. See, that's expectation. That's expectation. And that is one sign that you have a miracle mindset. You should say every day, Lord, something good is going to happen to me today. I don't know what angle it's going to come from. I don't know who's going to make it happen. I don't know. I don't have to know. I just know today something good is going to happen to me. The last thing that evidences the miracle mindset is that you rest. See, when we let peace rule, we can rest. Colossians 3:15, it says, and let the peace, the soul harmony which comes from Christ, rule. Act as umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds, and that peaceful state to which, as members of Christ's one body, you were also called to live. And be thankful, appreciative, giving praise to God always. So it says, let the peace of God, that peace which comes from Christ, act as umpire. Okay. So real quickly, I'm going to share this with you. I'm like a football. I'm a flag football mom. I'm a basketball mom. My daughter was playing sports. I was a softball mom. Was a volleyball mom. I'm a theater mom. Wherever my kids are, that's where I am. And when this past season, when the twins were playing basketball, oh my goodness, some of those games were just really just heart-wrenching games. And you know, when you're sitting in the stands and you're rooting for your kids, and then there are parents on the other team that are obnoxious, it's like you really want your team to win then. But it doesn't matter what side you're on, when the ref says it's a foul, it's a foul. When the ref doesn't call a foul, it's no foul. It doesn't matter what you in the stands think. It don't matter how mad you get at the ref. If the ref said it's not a foul, it's not a foul. You can get mad and get thrown out the game, or you can just accept and keep playing. Well, the peace of God is the referee of your miracle mindset. The peace of God says, this thought that's trying to come in does not align with my strategy for my life. So I will not think on it. I don't care if it's something that everybody else is thinking about. I don't care if it looks like everybody else is going down to this issue. I don't care if it feels like I should meditate on this issue. I don't care if I got books that I've read that said I should meditate on this issue. The peace of God is the umpire of my life, and it said you will not think on that, so I'm going to let the peace of God reign, and when I let the peace of God reign, I can rest. Rest means I'm not working. I'm not trying to figure it out. I'm not stressing. I'm not upset. I'm not in anxiety. We can rest. So when we have the miracle mindset, we're in expectation and we can rest. Everybody just lift up your hands with me. Let's just honor him.